A lot of us have had different comfort and anxiety levels when it comes to going outside the house in a pandemic world. But many older adults, especially those in nursing homes, have had less of a choice and have been more vulnerable. Many have been living in facilities where, for months, outside visitors weren't allowed and group activities were cut back or canceled. Our next guest says we need to acknowledge how much trauma that may have created in these facilities, including for staff and residents, and use the idea of trauma-informed care to help people recover. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you living in a nursing home or do you have a loved one there? What has been like through the pandemic? Have you or your loved one experienced trauma related to this and the conditions during COVID-19? If you work in a nursing home, love to hear your experiences as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nancy Kasmal is an associate professor of social work at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. She's worked in healthcare for more than a decade, including in nursing homes. Her research interests include trauma-informed care and the impact of trauma experiences on the workforce. She wrote a piece about nursing home residents and staff trauma during the pandemic. For The Conversation, Nancy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Rob. It's been my pleasure.
Trauma, the idea of trauma, is at the center of this piece you wrote. Can you give us a working definition of what we mean when we're talking about trauma in this context?
So in this context, I'm really talking about psychological trauma, the result of exposure to things like abuse, disasters, and other events that are harmful or thought to be life-threatening that are often out of someone's control. And the reason they're important is because they can have long-lasting effects on somebody's mental and physical and emotional well-being.
And this is something that you're hoping we think about in a nursing home setting, even apart from the pandemic. Why is it important to be mindful of the potential for a traumatic experience for people who have made it to that age?
Because really anyone might have had these experiences and that we don't know about. And particularly for people in nursing homes, they've had a lifetime to accumulate them. And they've most people, by the time they get to a nursing home, have had a number of major losses over the years preceding that, from the loss of their homes to maybe the loss of friends or spouses or other close people to them. They've lost their independence. And so all of those things can be cumulative, potential trauma on top of potential trauma. Now, just because somebody's had that experience doesn't mean they've had these adverse effects, but the idea is that we want to be aware that it could be there.
And that's in normal times. And now we have the pandemic for this last, year and a half now, and we know that nursing homes were hard hit. From a health perspective, how did that play out when it came to trauma for those living in and even working in nursing homes?
So when you think about traumatic events, as I've just described them, it sees potentially life-threatening events. And you have this deadly disease that we didn't know a whole lot about at the get-go that's now very quickly going through nursing homes. If you remember back to the beginning when there were shortages of personal protective equipment, when staff didn't know what they were walking into, and at the same time, in an attempt to protect residents, all visitors were cut off, all those group activities. So you didn't have any of the same social and emotional supports that people are used to. So right there, you have this potential for so much trauma, just in the beginning part, and not even talking about how it's unfolded over the last 18 months.
We're talking to Nancy Kasmal, associate professor of social work at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. She's talking about trauma and the need for trauma-informed care at nursing homes, especially in the aftermath, what will hopefully soon be the aftermath of the pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question for our guest or an experience to share living in, working in a nursing home for seniors or with a loved one there. What were some of the challenges? What were some of the creative ways that nursing home settings tackled these concerns? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Nancy, here comes this idea now of trauma-informed care. And we've talked about that on the show, but I've got to admit, I usually think of it with adverse childhood experiences and trauma for kids and schools dealing with it. Can you talk about trauma-informed care, what it is, and how it would fit into this nursing home setting?
So trauma-informed care is really looking at any system of care. So a school, a healthcare facility, a nursing home, and looking at the way they do things around here and trying to reduce, you know, re-traumatization, reduce experiences that keep people from being in control. And so it can apply across any setting. And yes, when we talk about trauma, sometimes we talk about adverse childhood experiences, which some of these older adults in nursing homes may have experienced back when they were children. But we're also talking about things that can happen across the life course, domestic violence, disasters, and as we just heard on the news, you know, wildfires and things like that. So disasters, natural disasters even, and surviving those can be traumatic as well. So we can't forget that people at any age can have these experiences. And if they're not resolved, if they're not dealt with, then they come back and people have to deal with them across the life course.
So what kind of things could, say, a director or a board of a nursing home facility do to introduce ideas or more ideas of trauma-informed care?
So the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA, says there are six principles of trauma-informed care: safety, trustworthiness and transparency, peer support, collaboration and mutuality, empowerment, voice and choice, and cultural, historical, and gender issues. Well, what does that mean? That means that you're always looking for ways to ensure safety. And I'm not just talking about physical safety, because that visitation restriction we were talking about, that was put in place to promote physical safety. But it didn't address emotional safety at the same time. There weren't any, you know, stopgaps put in to make sure that people were able to maintain connections with family members on the outside. Trustworthiness, for example, through transparency, meaning that our nursing homes being open with everyone, with their staff, with their families, with their residents, about what's going on to really foster trust in that system. So those are the kinds of things that management can be thinking about in nursing homes around trauma-informed care.
Let's ring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Nora is with us in Madison. Nora, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Nora?
Good. So my grandpa, shortly after turning 99 last year, he lived in an assisted living facility. Unfortunately, he passed away after COVID got into his facility in April of last year. It was hard to think about him being shut alone in his room, you know, during that time, the short time that he actually had to be there. And it was also hard thinking about him being by himself. They were allowed one visitor from 9 to 5 if someone was like actively dying. Unfortunately, he passed away in the early morning, so no one was with him during that time. But this show obviously made me think about what he went through in that short period of time, and what he would be going through now is if he had lived through COVID.
Nora, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sorry for your loss and for that. I'm hearing a kind of an uncertainty, Nancy, and this has got to be a problem. I'm assuming Nora isn't alone. A lot of people remembering a loved one that they lost maybe in this exact or a very similar situation in a nursing home last year.
Exactly. There was so much loss that happened over the last year, I mean, across the country. And for people who lost someone in a nursing home and weren't able to be there, it got right at the heart of that, you know, what we're told to do when we're caring for our loved ones. And being there and being there at the end is really one of those things that we're all taught. And so for those family members who now have to deal with the trauma of losing somebody at a time when they were being kept out is something that, again, people across the country and across the life course have to deal with at this point.
Nora, thank you so much for sharing that story at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Nancy Cusmall, an associate professor of social work at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. She wrote a piece on nursing homes and trauma during the pandemic for The Conversation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or a loved one live in a nursing home? What has this last year and a half been like? The concern about the illness, the isolation through parts of this. Do you work in a nursing home? What would help improve the experience for your staff and for the residents? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Associate Professor of Social Work at University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Nancy Cusmall. She wrote a piece for The Conversation about nursing homes during the pandemic and how to help residents and staff recover from trauma. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Maybe you have an experience to share living in a nursing home, working in one with a loved one in one. What has this last year and a half been like for you, for your family, for you and your colleagues if you work there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Nancy, I want to talk about the staff some at nursing homes. Even before the pandemic, we've talked on this show how it's a demanding job, physically, emotionally, certainly, not always very well paid, I understand. What kind of thoughts do you have on working conditions for people at nursing homes and what we could do to alleviate some of the stress that seems like it's just built in?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because the staff, as you said, at baseline had a very stressful situation they were in with the low wages, with the difficult work. This isn't easy work, and with staff shortages, caseloads were already high, where nursing assistants who do a lot of that frontline, hands-on personal care were having to take care of more and more people. That just got worse during COVID. Staff shortages from people leaving the job, staff shortages from people getting sick were rampant, and so those caseloads just got higher and higher, and they weren't able to spend as much time with residents. Again, keeping in mind that families and visitors weren't there, they were sort of that lifeline. And so we need to, when we think about trauma-informed care and coming out and dealing with the trauma of the pandemic, we have to really address those staff issues. Support, providing them with all kinds of support, like both emotional support to really looking at what we can do about wages and kind of structured support that can come out of the nursing homes. Keeping in mind that, you know, if we use this trauma-informed approach, they may have past traumas too that we don't know about. And so now we're asking them to deal with their own and the resident trauma over the last year. And they can't do that without our help.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Marie is with us in Fort Atkinson. Marie, hi.
Hi.
Do you have a story to share with us, Marie?
Yes. My husband is a 30-year vet. He had a catastrophic stroke. He's nonverbal. He's also paralyzed. And what's traumatic out of all of this COVID and restrictions, and I do understand it, is that my husband has received injuries, and the family not being there to find out why, you know, or what incurred and how he got these injuries has been very traumatic and helpless for the family. And also my husband, because I've asked my husband, you know, was this an accident? Did you do it? Or did somebody do it for, you know, do it to you? And, you know, I can see in his eyes when he doesn't reply to me, is like, I think he's, to me, the fear of retaliation. And that's very traumatic for the family also, because we can't be involved with him every day to see what's going on around his life in there. And it's just been one thing after another. And I get it. You know, the nursing home is understaffed and they're struggling also. But it just makes it harder for us because we have no control helping him control his environment.
Marie, thank you for sharing that. I'm so sorry you and your family are going through this. Nancy, I know we don't know a lot of the specifics here, but if a family member has a concern about the well-being of a loved one in a facility and doesn't feel like they have transparency, do you have any advice for where they would go or they might turn next?
There are really two options. There's the long-term care ombudsman program, and those are trained advocates who work with families to help them serve as an intermediary between them and the nursing home. And every nursing home has one. And if you're not sure who your long-term care ombudsman is, you can always go to your state office on aging and they can connect you. The other is through your health department, whoever your regulatory body is. You can always make a complaint if you feel like something's going on that shouldn't be. And I think that our caller was talking to the larger issue of, you know, families and outsiders not being allowed in, is that they really are the eyes and the ears. And so that disconnect at a time when staff was already strained really took out, you know, some strong advocates for residents.
Marie, thanks again for sharing that story at 800-642-1234. We're talking about nursing homes, trauma, and trauma-informed care, especially during the pandemic, but not only during the pandemic. Nancy Kosmal is with us from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. She wrote about this in The Conversation. Nancy, one big point you make in your piece is you're hoping that the approach here isn't that there'll be a top-down, now we have trauma-informed care at our facility, here's how you do it. You want to see patients, loved ones, and staff involved in creating policies and practices. Can you talk about why that's important?
Absolutely, because the trauma-informed care is all about giving the power back to people who don't have it. That traumas really come out of those situations where you feel like you're not in control of something. So the only way you can be trauma-informed is to share that power and let everybody have a voice in the, as I said earlier, the way things work around here, that is, and you know, what an organizational culture is. And so everybody should have a say in shaping what that looks like.
Do you see that happening? Do you see people acting on the kind of advice you're giving and bringing in people, the staff, the residents, and more, and doing the kind of things you're looking for?
In places, not as much as I would have hoped. Trauma-informed care became part of the federal regulations just before COVID, and so really didn't have a chance to get off the ground before COVID came and took the attention of nursing homes and nursing home administrators. And so I'm really hoping that now that, I don't want to say that it's over, but now that we've had some time to see how this has played out, I hope we really spend some time figuring out the best ways to make nursing homes more trauma-informed.
Let's bring on another caller now. Margaret is with us near Duluth. Margaret, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Margaret?
My husband and I are in the car right now driving to a state park to camp tonight, and we've heard this story. I have an elderly mother and father down in the Twin Cities. They're both in memory care. We have cameras in both of their rooms. And I would highly recommend that your viewers or your listeners look into putting cameras into their loved ones' rooms.
Are you doing this to be able to communicate them and see them, or to kind of keep tabs on the care they're receiving?
It's not to communicate with them. I'm part of a group of daughters and sons that have cameras in their parents' rooms. Some of them do use it to communicate with their loved one. Sorry, I feel like my voice is kind of shaking because I feel like I finally have a platform here. I can speak this and let people know. We do it to keep an eye on them for safety.
Margaret, thank you so much. We just have a couple minutes left, Nancy. Margaret and her family clearly concerned about the care that their parents are getting and the safety, and have gone to the point of having cameras in their rooms. Is this something that's common? What do you think of this?
I think it's a growing question. I mean, I have a colleague out at the University of Washington who has done a lot of work in that area, and there are pros and cons, like anything else, you know, privacy questions that come into play, but it's definitely a growing question, especially as technology increases. I do know some families that have used like Facebook portal kinds of things to maintain communication with their families especially during this visitation restrictions.
Margaret, thanks for that call. In our last minute or so, Nancy, who are you hoping takes the lead? As you said, as you see it, not enough facilities are doing this kind of trauma-informed care. Who needs to nudge this and make it happen?
Well, there needs to be buy-in from everyone, but the leadership really needs to take the reins and, you know, make sure that this is something their facilities are looking at. It can't happen without the leadership, but everybody needs to be involved in the decision-making, if that makes sense.
Nancy, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Nancy Kasmal is an associate professor of social work at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. She's worked in healthcare for more than a decade, including in nursing homes. Her research interests include trauma-informed care and the impact of trauma experience on the workforce. She wrote about nursing homes and the impact of the pandemic over at the website The Conversation.